Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 42. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you, from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your torrents. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we just recently finished science fair in my house. Do y'all remember science fair? Y'all remember science fair? Yeah, okay, so y'all know, we did science fair. My son Cannon chose to do it on electrolytes, and that means that all of us learned about electrolytes, the whole family. We all did science fair. But the really fascinating thing about this project was that while he was doing the background research, we learned such an interesting story that I want to share with you. And I say this as a person that's from Miami, I'm giving credit to the University of Florida this one time. Okay, so in the 50s and 60s, football players did not have access to water during practices and games. It was thought that if they were going to drink water during a practice or a game, that it would lead to nausea or they'd get cramps or that it would just essentially decrease their performance. So these guys would be out for hours in the Florida sun and never have a drink of water. So in 65, maybe, does that sound right to you? 65-ish, the head football coach of the Florida Gators was in the school break room with a professor from the medical school. And they got to talking, and the coach said, "I wanna ask you a question. Can you explain this to me? I have these players who will play a whole game. They will never have a drink of water. They never take a bathroom break. And yet, at the end of the game, they have regularly lost 18 pounds. 18 pounds. And so he said, "Do you know what's going on with that? What's happening?" And of course, this doctor, who is a nephrologist, was like, "Oh my gosh, you're killing them. Please don't do that. Please let them have water." And so he went back to his lab. He cooked up what you now know as Gatorade. And voila, that's where it comes from. And of course, then the University of Florida, all their players were doing phenomenally well compared to other players because they had this Gatorade with them. So I tell you that story because, oh my goodness, can you imagine how thirsty these guys must have been after hours playing football, no access to water, and then hear this word of the Lord. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So I know that you all living in North Carolina, and the heat we get here, have felt that real thirst driven by summer in North Carolina. But have you ever had that thirst in your soul? The deer pants for water and is searching for that stream because without it, she quite literally cannot survive. And the same is true for us. A soul cannot survive without the living God. In recent weeks, as we've been studying the Psalms for Lent, we've been talking about Psalms as the Bible's prayer book. And a few folks in our congregation, actually a couple more than a few, have come to me because I used to be a literature professor. So I spent years teaching people how to read literature, how to read poetry, how to understand all these things. And so some folks have come to me kind of in secret and said, I don't understand the Psalms. I really want to. I really want this to be my prayer book too, but I don't get poetry, and I certainly don't get ancient Hebrew poetry. I don't know what's going on. It's not resonating with me. What's wrong with me? Really, a lot of y'all. In fact, somebody even came to me and said, do you offer office hours? Because I really need tutoring. And so I want to name it, put words to it, because I think that's real. Sometimes we read these things and it just does not connect for us in our modern lives. So I'm going to tell you what I used to tell my literature students, which is that don't be afraid of poetry. It's just like music. So when you're listening to music, like if you're in the car and a song comes on, you're thinking about, oh, like that image makes sense to me, or that little phrase, I like how it sounds. It clicks with me somehow. And that's kind of the thing you hold on to when you've listened to a song. And so that your setup for this Psalm 42 is this. This is a song for when hope feels far away, for when your soul is longing, for when you feel that disquiet, the distress of life. So as is often the case, we don't know a lot about this particular psalmist. We don't know the exact circumstances that led to this particular psalm being written. We only get a few clues. One of them is that this is a psalm of the Korahites. And so we know that the sons of Korah was this group that they rebelled against Moses, and there was a judgment against them. But essentially what happened at the end of it all was that God preserved their line and allowed them to maintain this central position in the worship of Israel, even though they had failed terribly. So we know that these people who are singing this song are people who really understand longing and hope and redemption. It's something that they have lived, but they have this long view of God. It's not just the today. They can look back on the generations before them and they see this long view of God and God's faithfulness. So as Elizabeth read to us, the psalmist remembers worshiping in the temple, walking with the crowd, singing, celebrating, all of these wonderful things about worship. But now he's in a different place. He's far from that. And he says that tears have been his food day and night. Tears of his food day and night. And I think that that's like the song you hear on the radio, like the love song on the radio, that you know that the writer's circumstances are different than your own, but somehow those lyrics just encapsulate exactly how you feel, like the height of love and the depth of heartbreak. My tears have been food day and night. So we don't know his circumstances, but I think that we all can understand that overwhelm, the sinking depression, and a longing for days gone by. Because, like the psalmist, we live in very uncertain times. There's so much in our world that is unstable, and I think that we can easily look back on seasons that just felt safer, where things felt more optimistic, where we didn't feel so overwhelmed. And also, in a personal way, Some of us may recall a time when our faith felt less complicated, when we could come to worship in the house of the Lord without the weight of the world on us. And in the midst of that kind of overwhelm, so often we encounter our larger culture that prizes self-reliance, that wants us to control all of our outcomes and optimize our lives, and they ask us in a million different ways, where is your God? And we even ask ourselves that question, like the psalmist did. Why, Lord, have you forgotten me? But that uncertainty that we're feeling and that dark night of the soul that we sometimes all walk through is nothing new. And that's the beauty of the Psalms. In the same way that music can bring you together, the Psalms does the same for us, because it's describing this experience that is common to all of us who follow God. Faith does not eliminate our experience of despair. The world can act like it does, or that it should, and even our well-meaning Christian friends sometimes say things to us like, oh, you should just be grateful. Just have faith. God has a plan. But thankfully, the Psalms do not pretend that life is that simple. The Psalms give us permission to ask all of those hard questions, like, God, where are you? Why have you forgotten me? Those questions are not the sign of a weak faith. They are the sign of your longing, the longing of your soul. The psalmist calls it thirst because our soul cannot live without the living God. Our soul will wither. But this is the good news. The good news of Lent and the Psalms is that that thirst that you feel is evidence of life. It is evidence of a living God. That very thing, that anxious itch that feels like a problem, that thirst, that's actually what drives you to God. If the deer were not thirsty, he would never seek a stream. And in the same way, if our soul did not feel that longing, we might settle for the shallow things that the world gives us. That thirst is what sends us searching, so that we're not satisfied with the distractions of the world. We're seeking a living God. And we know in our bones, we feel the difference between remembering water and what it feels like to drink from a cold spring on a hot day. So in this world, we will not escape despair. Even Christ experienced despair. But when our hope feels thin, we can recall the words that the psalmist speaks. Oh, my soul, he says. Oh, my soul, why are you cast down? Hope in God. Because although we thirst, this is what biblical hope looks like. It is holding both of those things at the same time. I can have a sinking soul, and I can still hope in God. Desmond Tutu was the Archbishop of Cape Town, South Africa. You probably have heard about him because he worked for decades to end apartheid in South Africa against really tremendous odds and lots of violence. And this is something that he said, which I think is beautiful and encapsulates this idea too. He said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. That there is light despite all the darkness. And if you think that right now I'm not playing fair, I'm just giving you more platitudes and more talk about hope despite the darkness, I want you to hear, listen to what the psalmist tells us. It's the same refrain. He repeats it three times over this and the next psalm. And this is like the chorus of the song. This is the thing that when you turn the radio off, it's still playing in your head. This is what he wants you to walk away holding on to. He says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. For I shall again praise him." But the cool thing about it, if you go back and you really read it, is that nothing has changed for the psalmist when he says this. He's still in this sinking pit. He still feels overwhelmed. He still doesn't know where to turn. Life still feels bleak to him. His situation has not changed, but his solution is the same. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. The psalmist believes that a day will come when joy returns, not because he can see it, but because he knows the character of the living God. And that paints a picture of faith that I think looks something like this: a thirsty soul and a stubborn hope that says, "I may feel cast down now, but I will praise God again." So as we continue to encounter the Psalms this Lent, this is my invitation to you, even if poetry feels scary. If your faith feels fragile, if your soul feels heavy, if you find yourself asking God, "Where are you? Why have you forgotten me?" You're not alone, and you're not doing it wrong. You are thirsty. You're thirsty because your body was not meant to scrimmage for 3 hours in the Florida heat without water, and your soul is not meant to be separated from the living God. The God that our soul thirsts for is still drawing near to us, is still listening, still meeting thirsty souls with living water. And so even now, we can say, "Hope in God, for we shall again praise him." Amen.